Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 9. Now that's the first book in the New Testament. Dr. Hiles used to say, you know, keep flipping. And I remember him saying, if you don't have it by now, I'd just stop and make out like I had it. Amen. What a joy to be here. What a joy to be here. I just have precious memories of this place. It's a miracle, folks. It's a miracle. I remember when Brother Paul and Terry came here, had the privilege of preaching a little small building. Every time it comes, there's more buildings, more people, way out here in the desert. And that's amazing. That's just God. That's all you can say. He don't take any credit. He knows it's God. And we give him the praise. You know, no flesh is going to glory in his presence. You know that? And the Lord's let me pastor a miracle church. I remember 25, 30 years ago, Dr. Howells, he was sincere. He said to me, I want you to tell me what you think makes this church grow. I want to help people around America. And I was stunned. I said, he said, you have a strong visitation program. I said, no, I'm working at it, but it's not strong. It ought to be. He mentioned a few things, and I just didn't know what to say. And I said, Dr. Hiles, if you want to tell people something, you tell them God's doing something out here in the country that the preacher don't understand it, but he's enjoying it. That's right. Brother Lester Roloff was with us many times, and some of you have never heard him. Most of you have heard his name. What a man of God. He used to say, be careful. You can get too big for God, but you'll never be too small for him. Amen. I never will forget those things. And that's a true thing. Now you keep your Bible there. I want to read you something. I won't preach. My wife says, how come you say that? I just say it. I like to say it. I won't preach long. Most of you have never heard of Dr. Jack. Trying to think of his name.
Hudson.
Dr. Hudson. Have you ever read that what he presented about the Bible? Somebody gave me to this Brother Paul a year or two ago, and I taped it in my Bible. Jack Hudson was a pastor of Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's about 100 miles from me. We started a school in 1972. And he helped me get a Christian school started. Great man of God. He's with the Lord now. Great preacher. I didn't know he had wrote something like this. Someone gave it to me, and I liked it so good, about the Bible. This don't have a thing to do with my message. But I just want to read it. I just want to read it to you. Listen to it. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its history is true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map. It's the pilgrim's staff. It's the pilot's compass. It's the soldier's sword. And it's the Christian's charter. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently and prayerfully. It is given to you in life. It'll be open in the judgment, and it'll be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts. It tells of grace and mercy for the believer, and justice and wrath for those who do not believe. Well, that's something in it. We'll make a copy of that, of several of them, if you'd like to have it. I don't know where I got it. Somebody gave it to me about a year ago. I don't remember. I liked it so good. And boy, I've been aiming to get me some sermons from it. Some good thoughts in that, really, on the Bible. Brother Lester Roloff used to say, and he'd come to our place, the Bible doesn't need to be written. It needs to be reread. And I like that. I like that. I like it. Thank God for the Bible. I want to say I appreciate you letting me come. There's only one thing that I don't like. It's 3,000 miles away. And 3 hours difference. Right now, it's 10:30 at home. And if I could just drive it out here. Yesterday, I left home sometime. Yesterday morning. And the plane brought me through Dallas, Texas. And we got on the plane to come this way, another one. Got out on the runway and sit there for 30 minutes. And something was running hot. But I was glad it was running hot before we got in the air. And we sit there 30 minutes, and then we went back into the gate. We sat on it 30, 40 minutes, and then we had to get off, and then we rambled around. And Brother Leo, he's such a sweet fella. Go ahead and say amen. He is, whether you believe it or not. He picks me up, and he comes to the sword. Leo waited 3.5-4 hours for me at that airport. I get in there at 15 minutes to 5. I think it's 8:30 when I got there. And I got into bed at 2 at home, about 10 or 11 here, I believe. It's a joy. I mean that, and I don't take it for granted. And you people are so nice to me. I have a beautiful room out here, and it's got everything in it. Eden, my goodness. I mean, it's got, and where's that sister at that brings those tomatoes? Where are you at? You're in here somewhere. Stand up. God bless your heart. I don't see her. She must eat too many tomato sandwiches. But every time, at the sword, back yonder, a Christian school always just is kind of trying to survive. And I said, people eat after services. And I said, why don't we have plenty of tomatoes in our area? We have had. And I said, why don't our people bring tomatoes and the school sell tomato sandwiches after church? And I was surprised. A lot of people in North Carolina had never eaten a tomato sandwich. And probably out here, some of them told me, I never eaten one until then. There's nothing better than fixing an old tomato sandwich with mayonnaise and let it get good and soggy and then eat it. That's good. Paul, you got a member here. I can't remember her name, but she brings me tomatoes. And last night I opened that little refrigerator. And I thought, what is that up the top? And she has sliced me some tomatoes, sandwich bread, and mayonnaise. And I eat one of them. To you, it was dinner, but I eat supper. I eat dinner around noon, and I eat supper at supper time. Amen. Thank you, boy. I appreciate that. And Brother Paul and I were going to have supper together, and he got tied up down there and understood. But I said, I don't need a thing. I've got those tomatoes. I've got all them goodies in there. I've got drinks. I've got coffee. You name it, I got it. Here come one of the ladies. She came to the door, and she said, we brought you some soup. And I got soup on top. I am full as a tick. I've got it. But it seemed like every time you just breathe something, they're running to get it around here, And that's wonderful. And I want to thank you for it. And I want you to keep standing behind your pastor. Amen. You'll never know the burdens of a pastor. You'll never know. I've found out through the years the hardest thing that I have Everybody's Christians, but some of them says, you rub me the wrong way and I'll tell you where to get off. And I found the hardest thing is to keep harmony in your church all the time. I mean, you know, without compromising the truth, just keep harmony. And God gives grace, but Brother Paul's still a young man. And you appreciate that, those amens. But he's a young man. And I was talking to Larry tonight. He's doing good from his cancer. God's good. And I praise him for it, you know. And I'm not trying to set any records. I'm just trying to do the will of God. That's all. And I turned 80 in August. And I told him the other day, I said, if Jesus don't come and he gives me help, I want a pastor here till I'm 100, and then I'm going into evangelism the rest of my life. Amen. So you pray for us. You pray for us. You pray for us. I called home a while ago, and I always count my people. You say for numbers, well, they're in the Bible. What's wrong with it? Even the book named numbers. But I always count on Wednesday nights, so I push it on Sunday. Some of you people will get backslid now if you don't get back in prayer meeting. And I said, I don't remember now, I had something over 800 tonight in prayer meeting, and God's good. If you ever can visit us and pray for us, I mean that. You know, I found out that your theme for the church this year is rooted in Christ. And I like that. So I felt impressed to preach about his compassion tonight. His compassion. Dr. Lee Robertson, no relation, it'd been all right if he had. He preached here different times. Who passed away at 97 years old. Pastored, you know, the Highland Park Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee Temple Schools and all that. And Dr. Robertson, I believe he retired from pastoring. I think he was 74. And he preached till he was 94 or 95 anyway. He was in our church. And I think the last time that he preached for me, he said, Brother Bobby, I want to say, I could miss this, that I have been in 1,734 churches since I retired from pastor. And he said this, I believe the most missing link is compassion. I never forget that. It's compassion. An old doctor friend of mine died at 92. I had his funeral. He's an old Presbyterian, but he attended our church real often. He was my doctor. He'd heard me talk about compassion. One day, I went to see him for something. He said, Preacher, do you know what compassion is? And I said, I think I do. He said, it's love in action. I thought, that's a good thought, isn't it? Love in action. And Jesus, we know, loves us. And I want to read here. Many are familiar. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Read it, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But now notice, that's great. Healing is great. And he did, and he does heal. He's healed me. Twice of cancer and one from a heart attack. And he's been good and a nervous breakdown and all of that through the years. And God's healed me. That's one reason I don't want to quit. I want to keep on, keeping on, as long as God gives me health and strength. Someone said, they're constantly saying, who'll be the next pastor gospelite? I don't know, but the Holy Spirit knows. And they can work that out. But I told them a while back, people, who's going to be the next pastor? I said, Antichrist. I'm just going to stay there in the rapture and let him have it. Yeah, and he may be, folks, I believe that we're close to the rapture. I really do with the mess that we're in America. I believe we are. But I want you to see something here. That's important. He was healing sick people. But notice verse 36 says, but, you notice that? When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He says on them, why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep that had no shepherd. Now Jesus is looking at the people. He said they're just like a bunch of sheep that has no leadership, no shepherd whatsoever. And he was moved. He got emotionally about it. It was compassion when he looked at it. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but here's the problem, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Now remember, he was moved with compassion. And then I read again, and we will not go to those stories, but I read again in Matthew chapter 20. When he healed a couple of blind men, and it says this in verse 34, and he was moved with compassion. And then I thought about what he said in the 20th chapter of John, you know, after his resurrection, and he appeared there in that room with his disciples. And he said this in John 20, in verse 21. He said, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Do you get what I get out of that? Jesus, his Father sent him. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And he was moved with compassion. Now he says, my Father sent me, and I'm sending you to do the same thing. Now you're not Jesus, you're his children. But I want you to do what he done on earth. That's my job and your job, is to do that. Another scripture he talked about in the 14th chapter of John. He says, works that I do shall you do also, and greater works because I go to my Father. Jesus Christ, when you look at him and you think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and you think about what he said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to talk about rooted in Christ in compassion tonight. In compassion tonight. I just put down some few things I want to share with you. I want to say, rooted in Christ, in compassion towards hurting people. Folks, there's a lot of hurting people today. There's people hurting in this auditorium with all kinds of things. Your children has gone astray. Maybe your companion is gone. I do not know. But I do know people, and I work among them. And I put down some Bible stories here. He was compassionate towards the hurting. You know, he'd been in Martha and Mary's home for many times. I pictured in my mind just a little humble house 2 miles out from Jerusalem at Bethany. And many times, you know, he was there. And here on one occasion, he's down yonder in Jordan below where John baptized. And Lazarus became sick. And Lazarus died. And Jesus said to his disciples, we better go back up to Judea. And said, Lazarus sleepeth. And they said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he's fine. He said, he's dead in your language. Lazarus is dead. And we better go back up there. One of his disciples said, Lord, that's where they tried to kill you. And you're going back? Yeah, I'm going back. Why? Because there's 2 sisters there that need some help. And he got back there, if you remember, most of you know the story. And his sisters, the funeral had already been. And those 2 sisters were sitting in the room weeping because their brother was gone. And one of them, somebody said, Jesus is coming down the road. And Martha rose up and run out to meet him. And she said, Lord, if you'd have just been here. How many times things happen in your life and mine, and we think, Lord, if you just, he's always there on time.
That's right.
He's always there on time. And said, but my brother, and Jesus said, well, he'll rise again. She said, I know he'll rise at the resurrection. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection.
Amen.
I'm the resurrection. And I'm the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Amen.
Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You know, for a child of God to leave this world, you just change places. You leave the old body behind into the presence. I say many times, death for a child of God is a door swinging open into a better life on the other side. But what I'm trying to get you to see, and after that, then somebody said to Mary, and she went out and met him. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they told him. And if you remember, when he got to the tomb, and here they are weeping, and the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Friends, you and I ought to have the compassion. I'm not talking about crocodile tears. To help those who are in need. We need to do that. We need all the time. And Jesus, of course, resurrected him. And you know what that crowd said? Behold how he loved him. This man is so concerned that he even wept over him. How concerned he was. People that were hurting. I see him on one occasion when there was a widow woman in Luke 7. And her son had died. And they were on their way to bury him. And here comes Jesus. He said, "How about setting the casket down a few minutes?" He said, open it up. This woman's weeping. She had nothing to go back to. She was a widow. Her son she loved. And Jesus resurrected. What I'm trying to say is this. Jesus was always trying to help people. And folks, me and you need to don't get too busy to help people. And if we're going to have compassion like Jesus, we're going to have to go out of the way sometime. That's what I'm trying to say. And we need to do that. I talked about Dr. Lee Robertson a while ago. He was a great Christian man. After he retired, he preached, you know, he always preached Monday and Tuesday somewhere. And we have a guest room, prophet room. We have some houses we bought around there. And Dr. Robertson would come and I counted 5 or 6 miles from our church. We got 23 Baptist churches. Some of them are real small. And I always want to tell them, if we can help you keep your evangelists and save some motel business, be able to win. So Dr. and Ms. Robertson stayed in our place many times. And he was preaching for a man about 15 miles from me. A little church was struggling, had a lot of trouble, running about 35 a Sunday. And he was staying in our place. Ms. Robertson was with him. I'll never forget this. And I thought, I wished I could get him to eat with me in the morning. I'd get him to speak to our bus workers on Saturday morning. So I try to call that prophet's room on Friday night up till about 10 o'clock or after. I didn't call in more. I told my wife, I said, maybe they're going to bed early. I don't want to interrupt them. I'm going to go over and see them in the morning. I went over about 8 o'clock. And Brother Paul, she was putting the things in the trunk of the car. And I said, "Ms. Robertson," I said, "I tried to call you, and I have too much of a sense of humor." I said, "I called here till 10 o'clock last night, and it's too, you and Dr. Robertson stayed out too late. You're too old to be out too late." She's putting things in the trunk, and she said, "Brother Bobby, that little fellow he preached for, 15, 20 miles away, 35 in Sunday school. So that little fellow was discouraged, and he wanted to talk to Lee. And it was late when we got in. And Lee spent about an hour with him last night trying to help him." Yeah. I went home. It touched my heart. I told Jackie, my wife, no wonder he's a great man.
Amen.
Run 10,000 or more in Sunday school for years. Had 70-some missions one time up in those hills of Tennessee all around. Great college there and school and you name it. And here's a man that's not so great that he's over yonder trying to help a little preacher who's discouraged, thinking about getting out of the ministry, and he wanted to talk to him. And I told my wife, I said, no wonder. He's a man of God. He wasn't no big fella. He was just a man that had God's compassion upon him. Folks, we need some people like that. You young people who are scattered here tonight, you get ready when you get out of here. I don't care how much you know, how many degrees, that's good and fine. But if you're not a person who loves people, God will never use you.
Right.
And God will honor this thing if you'll just remember that. I put down something else about Jesus. He was rooted in trying to help people with compassion. He helped the hurting people. And then he helped the helpless people. The helpless people. You take him in John chapter 5. You remember when he went up to the pool? And a certain time of the year, an angel would trouble the water, and the one who's got in the pool was made whole. Here's a man. Jesus knew that this fellow was in worse shape. He walks over and asks him, got up a conversation with him. He didn't know who Jesus was. And he said, yes, sir. He said, I've been bringing me here for 38 years. And when I try to get to the water, someone always gets in there before me. Isn't that amazing? We ought to go after the helpless people. The helpless people, that's what I'm talking about, that can't help themselves. That's the compassion. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, I'm sending you out there. You go after the helpless people. You go after them. I remember back yonder, we started the bus ministry almost 43 years ago.
Amen.
I never forget it. One Sunday morning, we had a death 7 or 8 miles from our church. The summertime. I went early to try to comfort the family. I'm on my way back trying to get there at 11, and did, 11 o'clock to preach. About 10:30 on Sunday morning, Brother Paul, you've heard me tell this, I passed a mobile home park, looked like it had 75, 100 mobile homes in it. At 10:30 on Sunday morning, there must have been 25 or 30 little boys and girls playing out there together in that park. God began to nugget my heart. I don't never want to lose that vision. That's been 43 years ago. God didn't speak in an audible voice, but it was so real, it's just about like that. He said, Bobby, I want you to do something to get these little boys and girls to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
They'll die and go to hell. That thing stayed on my mind. I didn't know what to do. I a few churches had started running buses, but it stayed there. A few months later, I was preaching in Habit of Grace, Maryland, 40 miles out of Baltimore. This church, I think he had about 100 people. He didn't have anything like that. He and I were going out for lunch one day. He's with the Lord now. And I told him, I said, Brother Turner, his name was Turner, I told him my story. And I said, I can't shake it. And he said, Brother Bobby, you know when God leads, he'll always put it together. I've had some brainstorms in my life, didn't work out. But that preacher said, Brother Bobby, if you're interested in some school buses, we can keep going down this highway. And he said, about 10 or 12 miles is a man's sales. There must be 250 of them sitting in the field. I said, let's go, brother. He drove me down there and we got out. And I was like a kid with a new toy. Man, I was going them old buses one to the other. I didn't have how many on my mind. But I picked me out four little 59 Ford, 48 passenger buses. And the man said, he wanted $900 a piece, it'd be $3,600. He said, if you want them all four, you can have them for $3,500. Well, I used the wrong word. I said, couldn't I Jew you down if we take them all? He was a Jew, but I didn't know it. Boy, he got mad at me. He said, I don't care where you buy my. And I said, sir, I'm very sorry. He didn't care where I bought anything. And I said, I'll let you know. I went back to the church, called my deacon board together, told them what happened over there that morning and up there. And they said, preacher, let's get the church to buy those. That's how our bus ministry started, Gospel Lane. And then somebody, another one. I've got some bus workers. I'm guessing 40 or 50 of them have been in it over 30 years. I got one man. Last Sunday, I think he brought in 70-some. He's been in it 42 years. He's the first man volunteered. And it's grown. And we have 1,500, have had more, 14, 15, 1,600 on the buses, and had hundreds of people saved through that bus ministry. I love them little bus kids. They meet in our auditorium, our old auditorium. Back at Christmas, you know, the time Christmas was. So we run our buses on Saturday, and I got to go to that meeting. I got to love a lot of them. All kinds of homes they're from. Many of them don't have any idea who their daddy is. But I want to love them children. We got some in the ministry. We got them teaching school at our school that was won through the bus ministry out there. Went off to college. About 3 years ago, I got the sweetest letter. Said, Brother Robertson, I've got the letter. I cherish it. Said, Brother Robertson, said, you don't know me. But she said, I was 8 years old and I started to your church. My father, she said, is an alcoholic. And my mother was living an awful life. And they just fussed all the time. And I thought, nobody cares for me. And one Saturday morning, somebody knocked on my door and said to my old drunken dad, said, you have any children in your home and like to go to Sunday school and run the bus through? He said, there's my daughter. She might like it. And said, they picked me up on Sunday. Now, this letter I'm reading, get it. And she said, you know, they come every Saturday to see me. And then he said, they'd come on Sunday. Said, Brother Robertson, I used to ride that old big yellow bus and look out the window and say, somebody does love me, don't they? I didn't think anybody loved me, but they love me. They come to get me. And she said in her letter, I got saved in your church. Amen. And she said, I'm now 28 years old. I'm married to a fine Christian man. And God has called us to Alaska as missionaries, and we have our support. We have three wonderful children, and we're leaving. Please tell them to keep it up.
Amen.
My friend, let me tell you, it don't have to be bus ministry, but I'm just saying there's some people out there need somebody to love them.
Amen.
And you and I need that compassion that Jesus is talking about here. It don't make any difference where anybody ever knows you in this world. As long as Jesus knows you and you're following him and you're rooted in him and you're trying to honor him and to please him, that's worth everything. That's what I'm trying to say. He said, if you give a cup of cold water to one of my children, I'll put it down. I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe there's some little old mountain people back there who love people. And I'm known, and your pastor's known, but I have an idea that our Lord will say, stand back here. And we're going to see some of those people come forward. The Lord's going to reward for faithfulness, my friend. And that's what I'm trying to say. There is not only hurting, but there's helpless people that need help. Oh, I think about yonder, when that blind Bartimaeus, here goes Jesus down the road. And somebody said, he's crying out, Son of David. And even his own disciples didn't have much compassion sometime. They said, he's going to break up our little program. You be quiet. He don't have time for you. But Jesus stopped. And he said, bring him up here. And he healed him. Yes, he tries to help the helpless, and he tries to help the hurting people, and there's so many people, folks. Let me tell you something that happened recently. About a month ago, I got a call. I'm 250 miles from Dr. Clarence Sexton. He called me one day. I was on my way to Baptist Hospital to see some members. The Baptist Hospital, we're out 7 or 8 miles out of Western Salem. Baptist Hospital is about 15 minutes away. I'm going. My cell phone rings. It's Dr. Saxon. He said, Brother Bobby, have you heard about that wreck. I said, what wreck? He said, about 40 miles from you, up near Mount Airy, there's a wreck, a missionary couple. And his wife is in the Baptist hospital, and it killed her little child. And he said, I happen to know their names, and he told me, and I went on. And I met them, bless their hearts. They got a little child, a year and a half old, a little girl, 3 years old, on deputation. I believe if Kevin Folger is going to be here, they are members of the Cleveland Baptist Temple. I didn't know them. And I went and talked to them, told them who I was, and prayed with them, and she went into surgery the next day. And I said, how about coming out to our place? We're only 15 minutes from, so we got them in one of our homes. And his folks came in, and her folks, and so on. And then she stayed in the hospital 3 or 4 days. She's still there taking therapy. And that little three-year-old looked like the sweetest little thing, dying in her daddy's arms at that wreck. It was a little black ice that morning, and he happened to hit it, and it killed him, demolished his car. I said to our people right here, some hurting people, we need to help them. I've got 50 letters from people in all over America telling us what a great church because we cared. Well, why not? That's what we're supposed to do. Yeah. Brother Paul, we had a couple who didn't have children, elderly people, and they had bought some plots in a memorial garden and gave them to the church, 8 plots. I didn't know what to do. While she's in the hospital, I talked to her husband a while. And I said, we'd be glad if you want to bury the little girl here. When she got out of the hospital, I got her in my car, and she could put her leg up against, you know, the back end. And I rode them up to look at the place about 10 miles, to look at the memorial garden. And they talked it over, and they said, we'd like to bury her here. And then they kept talking, and the leaders there at the garden talked to them, and said, would you want a plot? And they said, we wish we had. So we get a plot to bury with their little girl. It's amazing to see what God is doing. There's still some people care. The folks that the vault people called me and said, Pastor Robertson, will you tell them we want to give them the vault? Somebody paid for the beautiful little casket. They don't know who paid for that. I'm on my way from the memorial garden, just riding them around to let them make up their mind. We're going back to our church, which is 10, 12 miles back. His cell phone rang. He said, Mister, I can't believe this. And he kept talking. He said, Brother Robertson, that man said he was a businessman and he runs a dealership of cars up north. I don't remember what state. And he had heard about this. And I had an 09 model of whatever it was and demolished it. And he said, I want to give you a car. And that amazing. And they're there now at our place. And she's recuperating. But I find it everywhere, hurting people. Dear lady in our church, about 90 years old, her husband was a wonderful man, went to be of the Lord about 2 years ago. She had surgery a few months ago and has to live by herself. One of our families took her from the hospital, and she stayed with them 3 or 4 days. And Sunday I was reading thank you cards, and there was a card. And she said, Pastor, I appreciate the Maiden family that took me in. Amen. And took care of me. Amen. Let me say to you people, always try to help somebody. God will help you. God will bless you. He loves his people. He cares for his people. And brother, he'll bless you and he'll help you along the way. I got to close with this thought here in just a minute. But I just think about others in the Bible. The hopeless. I talk about the hurting people and these people. You got to hope. I mean hopeless. Look at that poor woman at the well. Here's one. It says there he left Judea and he's going to Galilee, and it says he must needs go through Samaria. I've been to the Holy Land several times. I don't know. I've been told that he went 60 miles out of the way. I don't know. But he was going by that Jacob's well. There's a case that looks like no hope. She's been married 5 times. Every marriage breaks up. And now she's living with a man she's not married to. I don't know why she came out there at noon to draw water. Maybe she's ashamed. But most of you know the story. Jesus, she wasn't too low for him to help her. Yes, and he said, how about a drink of water? She said, I don't understand. You're a Jew and I'm Samaritan and they don't have anything to do with us. Oh, but you got a different kind of Jew there. Yes. And then he said, woman, if you knew who he was talking about, you'd ask me for water. I'd give you living water. She said, are you greater than Jacob, our father, dug this well? And you don't have anything to. He said, if you drink this, you're going to thirst. Then she said, well, give me that drink. And he said, go get your husband. I expect he'd like to have a drink. Boy, we have to come honest to get right with God. You know the story there. But the disciples had gone off to get something to eat. I guess they'd gone to In-N-Out or McDonald's or somewhere. I don't know. And here they run back with the food. And say, here, Jesus. He said, I eat meat, you know what I. And they said, I wonder who brought him something. Who? And he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then he said to his disciples, I believe when you study the earthly ministry of Jesus, I believe he had a constant battle of getting his disciples to have compassion and care out there. He said, don't say there's yet 4 months to harvest, but boys, look out on the fields. They're white with harvest already, needing somebody to get out there and go get them. That's what I'm talking about. You see all through the Bible, Jesus Christ there, here, always helping people, compassionate people. Why, he even had compassion on the fallen Christian. Old Simon Peter said, Lord, if they all forsake you, I'll stand. Jesus, he meant that, but you know, we make boldly statements and depend on the flesh. But you know what Jesus said before the old rooster crows, three times, you'll deny me. Oh, no, I won't, but he did. I think Peter must have thought he fell from grace because he went back to his old ways. God had done called him from fishing, but he's gone back now fishing. Jesus could have said, you sorry thing, I don't believe you had it in the first place. You ever hear people say that? Well, God, if they had it, then you ought better be careful. You better be careful. But if you remember that story, there, yes. And you find there that Jesus went out there where he was fishing one morning. And they said, that's the Lord out there. Old Peter done, he had really backslid because he was naked. That's what happens when they're out there like it, you see. And, you know, because he got his fishing curl about him, if you remember. And they said, that's the Lord. He come up out of that water. He said, children, have you got any meat? He said, no, we've told, there's nothing out there. Nothing, they just won't get in their net. He said, you're on the wrong side. And if you remember, they listened to him and they got 153 fish. And when he come up there, he had it all ready for them and they had a good meal. And then he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? You know, if somehow, we're not to compromise, but if it's somehow, if we can do things a Christ-like way, it'll make a difference. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Peter said, yeah, Lord, I love you 3 times. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. I mean, he's saying, Lord, I know I've done wrong, but down inside, I love you. And then he told him, he said, I got some lambs and sheep to be fed. And we know the story there then, how he's going to have to die for him, and he did. But he filled him with the Holy Spirit a few days after that, and what a great man he became. Amen. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, gossip about him all you can, and sow discord and try to run him down. That isn't what it says. Listen. Listen. I'm afraid we don't have many spiritual people.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. If a man be overtaken of fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Restore. Jesus practiced that. And men, you need to practice it. You've got people in this church, I'm sure, that have fell by the wayside. They need somebody to go see them and said, we still love you.
Amen.
And we want you to care for us. Boy, there's people. You know, we have this RU program in our church. God is using that thing. We got people who go to the jails on Monday night. They're winning souls. They get them out of jail. I mean, we got some rough looking folks around there. We got a lady that got saved out of jail about 2 years ago. And she's right in there now, and she's so happy, probably in her 50s. And I said, what was you, asked her the other day, I said, what was you doing in jail? And she said, preacher, I was drunk. And she said, they arrested me, and I spit in the policeman's face. I said, he ought to put you in jail then. She said, he did. But she began to tell me her story. She had a husband who was an alcoholic, and he killed himself. And she got disgusted. And she said, I got two fine grown daughters. Now she's wanting them saved. Man came up to me last Sunday, and he said, pastor, I've been straight now for several months. And he said, I got to craving alcohol so, and I slipped up a few weeks ago. And I said, well, now the Lord will forgive you. Oh, let me tell you, they're hurting everywhere. Homes breaking up, you name it. Needing somebody to, I'm just saying, let's ask us to have a little of the touch of the compassion that Jesus Christ had. And compassion is not compromising. We don't compromise the truth, but we will show compassion and let them know that this is much better if we just do it, you see. Compassion makes a difference, the book of Jude says, and it does. And rooted in Christ. One old fellow used to preach for me, he's with the Lord now, and he said, if you got a problem, he said, find your promise and stand on the promise till the problem's taken care of. And I thought, that's good. Yes, let's just stand and have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help me to practice what I've preached tonight. If there's ever a time, Lord, and you know that we need to show forth that love of Christ, is surely now. When we have so many churches leaving the truth, many of them are no more than just places of entertainment, all this stuff. Help us to do our best. Some of them, Lord, maybe we could go talk to them and let them know we love them and we want them back into the book. Help us all not to compromise, but help us to love people. And Lord, when we think about Jesus, how he loved them even unto the end. The men who spit in his face, who beat him, who mocked him, who lied about him. Yet, what a Savior. When he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Help us to be more like you every day now. And Lord, I'm going to turn this service to Brother Paul. And if he feels any way to go on, maybe somebody here is not saved tonight. And may they realize Jesus loves them. He died for them. He don't want them to go to hell. He gives them a choice, and may they come to Christ. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.